Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Well, hello there, you gorgeous fellow humans. Welcome to season 2 of the Hot Mess Clubhouse. We are a podcast that celebrates funny women, and season 2 is going to focus on funny writers. I'm your hates listening to her own voice, host, Lucy Vine, and I'm very excited about this series, which features some of my favourite clever people. My guest today is the totally wonderful journalist and author Jessica Pan. Her book, Sorry I'm Late, I Didn't Want to Come, An Introvert's Year of Living Dangerously, is a brilliantly funny and inspiring memoir about her year trying to be more extrovert. It came out this summer, and if you haven't read it yet, you really must. It was one of my favourite of the year. It's not just the best title ever, it's also just so tender and brave and fascinating and wonderful. Jessica herself is also one of the most excellent people I've met during the course of doing these interviews, and I'm pretty intent on making her my best friend. So on that note, we talk about introversion, dickheads who bring babies on hen do's, and fancying Prince Eric. I hope you enjoy. Jessica.
Hi.
Welcome to the Hot Mess Clubhouse.
Oh, thank you for having me.
And thank you for having me in your actual house as well. Do you feel invaded? Because I have a weird thing about people being in my house.
I used to, but then I spent the year doing lots of things I didn't want to do, like social things. And so I've tried to make an effort to have people over more because I feel like it fosters intimacy and it's nice and it just feels nice and I don't want to be all insecure about that anymore.
Oh, sure, because obviously your amazing book is about being an introvert. Do you feel like you are still an introvert then at this point?
Yes, because I think that actually no matter how badly we want to change it, we're born introverts or extroverts. But I did feel like I did lots of things that made me more confident and have less social anxiety this year. So I'm less of a shy introvert now and I'm more of an outgoing introvert.
Sure, because you do actually do that differential very early on. I guess we should actually just say, the book is called I'm Sorry I'm Late, I Didn't Want to Come. Absolutely brilliant title, by the way. Did you come up with that?
So my best friend sent me a t-shirt that had that on it like 2 or 3 years ago. And I was like, that is brilliant. But then I thought we couldn't use it because it was sort of already out there, but then my publishers chose it and that's what it is.
It's so good. But you do explain how introverts, I think people assume that just means shy and personalityless, I guess, I think. But can you explain actually what an introvert is?
Yes. So I think there are a lot of misconceptions about introverts. I've had people be like, you can't be an introvert because you're sometimes funny, or you can't be an introvert because you had boyfriends, which is not true. You can have all of those things as an introvert. So the general definition is that introverts get their energy from being alone and extroverts get their energy from being with lots of people. So if I walked into a party full of lots of people, that would probably drain me, whereas other people might walk in and it would just give them so much energy. And then studies say that introverts tend to also, like one-on-one conversations more. They are really good at concentrating. They also like solitude. They like deeper conversations. And they tend to be more shy, but not all introverts are shy.
Because that's the, and I don't know how to pronounce this, the shintrovert? Do we call it a shintrovert? Or a shy-trovert?
Shintrovert is the word, yeah, I've made it up because I kept getting tired of saying shy introvert.
It looks good written down, but I didn't know how to pronounce it out loud.
Well, since we're inventing it, we can say
to the French accent. Oh, chintrovert.
Yes. Perfect.
I've nailed it. Because I am an introvert by that definition, absolutely. But like you say, nobody ever believes that because I'm really loud and annoying. But, and it's definitely, and I was going to ask you about sort of funniness a bit more later, but I think people assume you can't be funny if you're an introvert as well.
I think people assume that introverts are antisocial with no friends. I know that my dad was like, you can't be an introvert just because he's an extrovert and he just doesn't notice that I wasn't talking when he was talking the entire time. And he's like, no, but people like you. And I was like, but I don't like them sometimes. Like, that's kind of the thing. And yeah, I have a loud, strong voice as well, so it surprises people. So that's probably what you're going through as well.
Yeah, definitely. But I love a party and I love seeing people, but there's always a point in the evening where I just have to leave because I have been drained by everyone around me. And that's why I find it weird, like, inviting people to my house.
It's tricky, yeah.
One of my best friends messaged me the other day and was like, oh, in a couple of weeks, can I come and stay for 2 nights? And I was like, absolutely horrified. I love her dearly, but the idea of having somebody who, and she is an absolute extrovert, there would be no, I'd have to actually say to her, please leave. And I probably could, because we are good friends, and she does get it, and I do get teased for having that.
Yeah, I don't like it when people stay with me.
Yeah.
No, I had a friend visit who I also love dearly.
Yeah.
I love her, but she wasn't even annoying. It just felt like, I felt like someone was there, even when she was in the next room. I just couldn't rest.
No, and if I've had a big night out also, it doesn't matter how late I get home, I have to then stay up for like an hour or so after I've got home, just to kind of actually be alone for a little bit of the night.
That's exactly what I'm like. I think that's why I'm also such a night owl, because even when I get home really late, I'm like, but I need me time. I need to chill or read or take a bath or, yeah, just to process it all. Okay, then I definitely think you're an introvert.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. I feel validated.
You're in the introvert club.
But I really wanted to ask you how, because obviously you're married, and his name's not really Sam. You don't have to say his name, but it's not Sam, right?
It's not Sam.
Your husband. when you were sort of met and dating, because I really struggle with dating because I find it so draining and exhausting, and I can't really do a one-night stand because like I'm so afraid in the morning. I'll go and stand by the front door and like just wait for them to get the hint. But how do you get really close to somebody? Is it a case of finding somebody that is, you can recharge around them without being completely alone?
I think you've nailed it. Okay. So he is, I would say he's an introvert, but less of one than I am. He can be at a festival. A busy pub doesn't bother him or stress him out. He doesn't want to leave immediately. So we fight about that sometimes because I'm always like, okay, so my excuse to leave tonight is this. And he's just like, you shouldn't have an excuse. Like, why are you doing that? But I always want to have one. I just feel safer.
Do you have a particular excuse always ready, or is it different every
it's
time?
It's gotta change to keep it real.
Oh, sure.
But sometimes, listeners, I do have to leave for real reasons. But
bullshit.
Lucy, I need you to leave right now. There's an emergency.
You've had so many family emergencies.
He's a low maintenance person. I can recharge around him easily. He can be quiet and do his own thing. And if he's in the next room, I don't feel invaded. Because I can just say I want to be alone and he's fine with that.
And he gets it.
He gets it, yes.
To a certain extent.
Yeah, he does get it. He gets it even more now that he's read the book.
I was going to say, now that you've got this book, you can just sort of bring it along with you to a party and just point at it when you're ready to go.
I don't think anyone's going to invite me to things anymore.
This is also the trouble.
Yeah.
Because I wrote a book about the hellishness of Hindus and weddings, and I have not been invited to any since.
That sounds like bliss.
Yeah, it does actually, doesn't it?
I think growing up, I thought these things would be really fun, and I didn't quite understand why they weren't fun for me. Even in the moment, I'm like, this is fun. Just lots of loud people all the time, no break. And then I finally realized, I don't like it.
I'm supposed to like this.
Yeah. I like this. I like one person.
So you don't mind doing the promo and the interviews and stuff for this book?
No,
because
it's one-on-one.
Been a scary thing.
No, I did give a talk recently and I did freak out.
Yeah.
But I just did it anyway and it went okay.
You felt okay? Do you get nervous then?
Yeah, yeah, always. And yeah. I always will. I don't think that goes away because that's just how I'm wired. I will stand on stage and I'll feel like terrified. But
it's like sick with nerves, or does it manifest? I get really sweaty when I'm nervous.
I get...
It's a really sexy thing to do. Start sweating into my eyes.
That sounds very sexy. I don't sweat. My heart rate goes up. I lose my voice.
Okay.
I get a dry mouth and I feel like I'm gonna die. But
cool, that sounds fun.
It's so fun. And that's why, even though I did stand-up comedy in the book, I will not be pursuing my solo career as a comedian.
Oh no, I was gonna ask you about that.
Well, it was more fun than I thought it would be sometimes.
Like the first performance sounds like it went really well.
The first performance was fun.
Yeah.
And it did go well. But then the other two still haunt me.
Do you think, though, because I guess I should stop, and I was worried I was going to do this, I keep making references to bits in your book and not explaining that. So basically, you have to read this book, but essentially, let's explain. You went on these stand-up comedy courses and actually performed, and you did improv as well, right?
Did.
And it's so terrifying to me that you did this.
I talked to strangers.
You did. Well, you did lots of... Okay, yeah, let's list some of the things you did.
No, because the reason I want to list them is I want to list them and ask you which one is the worst for you. So okay, I talked to strangers on the tube, or tube, as you guys say.
Yes, tube. Well, thank you very much.
I performed at a storytelling event at Union Chapel for 900 people. So it's performance, but you're serious.
Yeah.
I did stand-up comedy 3 times, including at the Edinburgh Fringe. I did improv classes. I traveled solo with the aim to make friends on the road and not use social media or the internet. And then I threw a dinner party with all these new people. What is your nightmare out of all those? Or is it all of them like me?
No, some of them actually, like traveling alone totally doesn't scare me. The only thing I think though, and I did go on a holiday once on my own, and the only problem with that, I loved it, but the only problem was that I did just sort of hide in my hotel room. There was really no reason for me to have left my house at all. But so that doesn't scare me.
But what if you had to make friends on the road? Like, say you had to make 3 friends on that trip. Could you have talked to people? Because some people are really great at it.
Yes, I think I'm okay. And definitely this is something I've worked on. And it's also, I think, something that I've had to do more of, because I do sort of some events and stuff like that. And there was also a bit of a turning point, and I don't mean to make this interview about me, but this is such a cheesy reference, but a few years ago, because I used to get so nervous about doing stuff and would just be on complete autopilot the whole time, just surviving it, and I couldn't even remember a lot of the things after I'd come out of a thing or off a stage, for example. And then I watched an episode of X Factor a few years ago, and it was the auditions. Obviously, they all come on and they're like, oh, I'm so nervous, this is terrifying and stuff. And there was this one girl, I can't remember who it was, but she sort of literally bounced on the stage and was like, this is so scary but so exciting, and was just beaming the whole way through it. And I was a bit like, it's okay to be scared, but I think I was just putting so much emphasis on being nervous and scared that I wasn't enjoying any of the stuff. And I was like, there's absolutely no point in me doing all these cool things if I'm not enjoying it. And so whenever I start feeling nervous before an event or something, I genuinely am like, this is going to just be fun. This is going to be so much fun, and I'm so excited. And it works. I've tricked my brain into...
You know what? There's like a scientific study that proves that works.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah.
Am I like science?
Yes, you are a scientist. Because there's a study that says, I'm going to butcher it, but I think it's
amazing.
Something like you, when you're telling yourself, I'm really nervous and anxious about this thing, you just tell yourself, I'm excited.
Yes.
I'm excited. And they say that that helps. So actually, you are a scientist.
Oh, so the thing that would scare me in that, maybe the being serious thing, the storytelling, but then you got to rehearse it, and I don't know though, just having to do something that wasn't silly, I kind of hide behind silly quite a lot.
Okay.
The scariest thing for you in all those?
It was everything I was doing at that moment.
Yeah.
I think talking to strangers, for some reason, I really developed this phobia of it, and I think it's because I live in London, and people don't talk to each other, and it felt like it was really unfriendly. And then I realized when I knew that psychologist who was like, look, nobody waves, but everybody waves back. Just because they're not talking doesn't mean that they wouldn't be open to talking.
Yeah. That is an amazing thing. We were talking about this before I turned the mic on. Say it again.
Nobody waves, but everybody waves back. So if if you're sitting in a room and nobody's talking and you just think, like, well, I just have to be the first one to do it, and then everybody will join in and you have to break the ice. You have to usually be the person to do the thing, and then it's socially acceptable all of a sudden.
It's always such a relief when there's a dry party and then somebody else starts dancing or something, and you're like, yes, okay, now we can all just be silly and dance or something like that. But I was going to say as well, the trouble with opening yourself up to these kind of situations is, and, you know, going to things and doing things, is that you do meet way more dickheads than you would have done in the comfort of your own home. And there are some amazing dickheads in your book, and I want to talk about them. The main dickhead. And I want real names and real addresses. The main dickhead, and I need you to tell me that this wasn't true, was the woman who said she was going to take her newborn on an Ibiza hen do.
That was true.
You cannot be serious.
It's all true. It's all true. Apparently that's a thing now.
What, taking babies on a hen do?
Well, I think it's the kind of hen do where you rent like a really nice villa and then you just sit with your baby while everyone else goes and gets hammered. I don't know, I've never been on a hen do, right? Like,
have you really never been on a hen do?
No!
Because you keep saying no, well, can I do that to you?
Both. I'm still waiting. I'm still waiting, Lucy. I'm putting it out in the universe that I don't want to go. Actually, I have one, but it was my best friend and
she wasn't a nightmare.
That was a true story.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God. I just think people are monsters.
See, I felt like I was a monster when she was like, well, I am going to take my baby. And I was like,
I know, because you say in the thing, like, oh, and it haunted you for the next week. But I couldn't believe what monster she was. I think you're fine.
I think her point was like, well, I should be able to do all things that I have always done with my baby. And I do agree that that's true, but I just thought that I personally wouldn't want to take a baby on a hen do just because I don't think it'd be fun for me and the baby.
I'm just picturing her taking Instagram shots with her baby holding a willy straw and it just not being that cool. Just being really dark.
I will let you know if that happens because it would be this summer she goes.
Oh, and the other person I hated, of course, was Janet, who was on your Magic Mushrooms experience with you.
Janet.
Fucking Janet.
Nemesis. Yeah, she was a lot. She was a nightmare. She was the worst person.
Yeah, that ever lived.
To be in a car with someone who just talks nonstop but not even about interesting things and doesn't listen to you. And it made me really mad, yeah.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
So I am going to interrupt this lovely chat with the Clubhouse initiation, which is just a series of random quickfire questions that are designed to get to know you better. And I know you don't mind if they're personal because you said in your book, you love a personal question. No, I'm just kidding. They're fine. Have you ever broken any bones?
No.
Never? Are you Bruce Willis from Unbreakable?
No, I'm in a soft, warm cocoon at all times.
Oh, yeah, that's true. You don't go out.
I do. I've been hiking. I've been in the ocean a few times. I just have not broken any bones. No, I'm not. I wasn't the kid who was, like, jumping off the trampoline onto the roof or vice versa. That wasn't me. I was the kid being like, guys, you're going to break your bones. You're going to get a concussion.
Okay, but you haven't ruled out being invincible.
No.
Just saying. Just putting that out there. How often do you cry?
I cried a lot during this year for the book.
Oh, I bet.
Sometimes out of laughter, improv. Sometimes out of fear. and tiredness.
Yeah. When was this year?
It ended in December, so it ended a few months ago.
So were you writing the book as you were doing it then?
Yes.
Oh my God, that's intense.
I know, yeah.
Not long ago.
I cry. I find that as I get older, I cry a lot more at like movies and TV.
Yeah.
Or like just a touching commercial. A soft puppy with the right gaze could make me cry. Yeah.
Anything with dogs in it doesn't even matter if nothing's happening to the dogs. If there's a dog in the corner of the screen, they start crying.
Right. Twitter threads that are like very moving about like a story.
Oh, I love that.
But then I'm over it. Like I cry for like 30 seconds and then I just move on.
That's probably the best way.
Is that weird?
Just a little. I went for quite a long period without crying because I used to think I was, you know, hard. And I genuinely, every now and again, would cry in my sleep, which I think was a worrying thing. Because I would go genuinely sort of a year without crying in real life. I think occasionally I just needed to cry and I would do it, my subconscious would make me cry.
Oh,
weird,
yeah.
Right? That's dark.
That is dark. I enjoy crying. Unless it's like obviously a horrible thing, I don't enjoy that. I feel like when I feel really stressed and anxious and on the edge and then I cry, I'm much more stable.
I definitely think it's good for you.
So that's why Boss says I've been crying so much.
Yeah. Well, also, this has been an intense time for you.
Yes.
Are you a flirt? Your husband's not going to listen to this, is he? Come on, let's face it.
I think I am a flirt. Yeah. With the right person. Yeah, I am. Definitely. He won't love that. but I'm much more cautious now that I'm married. Because I feel like before I wasn't as cautious. Like, I wouldn't, like, touch people, but I'd be more flirty. But then you get like, asked out or you lead someone on. And then that's not fun anymore because you have to be like, I'm married. And then they're like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Why were you flirting? So it's very much held back. But you know what? I'm just a playful person.
Yeah.
Which maybe doesn't come across in my stern introvert now, like, persona. But
it's not stern, by the way.
Okay,
it's
good.
So funny. The book is so funny. And I just want to say that. I don't think I've ever thrown back my head and laughed so much at certain things. Oh, my God. My favourite bit is when you're quoting that guy from Come Time With Me.
Oh, my God. I love that show.
Do you follow rules?
Yes. Yeah, I do.
Is it because you're afraid of getting caught or because you believe in a rule?
I'm afraid of getting caught.
Okay.
Yeah, I've had the fear of God put in me as a child. And but I also like slide into, like, I always make my flight to the airport, but I'm like the last person on. Like,
oh, really?
Like, I'm the last person walking to the office because I'm running late or like, so I follow the rules, but like, that's like the bare minimum, right? I don't ever go above it.
Are you a late person? Be on brand for your title.
I am a late person, but not too late. I'm a 15 minutes late person.
Oh, that makes me very socially anxious to be late. I was early to your house. I'm so sorry.
Oh, yeah, I'm anxious about it, but I just am bad at staging time.
Okay.
Or I'm like, I should do this? Okay.
Do you ever think about death?
Not that often, and I think that makes me weird. I don't think about it that much.
Weird. But some people do really obsess over it, don't they?
Yeah, and I don't. Maybe I should to add more meaning to my life. Sometimes if I watch a moving movie or I hear a story about someone who dies unexpectedly, then I'll like feel really scared about like losing my friends and family, but I'm not scared about myself dying.
No, I'm not scared either. It's interesting. Who is the hottest Disney character?
Well, that is very easy. The correct answer to your question is Prince Eric from The Little Mermaid.
Absolutely right. But you also,
yes!
Of course, you put this in your book, but you also said it's a humiliating, embarrassing crush, and I'm so livid with you about that. It's not embarrassing at all. You should be so proud. You would be lucky to have a Prince Eric, okay?
You are so right.
Okay, I'm going to carry on.
Just going to move on really quickly.
Do you want to be rich?
Yes. Yes, 100%. Yes, but
buy
not
the
because.
Fucking book.
Buy the book. Just buy a million copies. I don't have to talk about it anymore, guys. But not the thing is, I don't even like. I'm just justifying all my shit, aren't I? I don't care about like a jet. I would never buy a jet. I don't really care about clothes or cars. If you're like, you can't have a jet, clothes, or cars, but you can live in a really nice house and have really nice food all the time, and you go on nice vacations.
Yeah.
Yes. I don't need jewelry either.
I'd quite like a boat. I don't need a jet, but I love being on a boat.
But you could just...
Doesn't need to be a Simon Cowell huge one, but like a good speedboat.
Okay, well then let's both get rich and I'll just use your boat. I'll be
okay,
on your
cool.
boat with you.
Yeah.
Okay.
We can go Harsies if you like.
And find Prince Eric.
We'd have to shipwreck somewhere and save him.
Fine. I'm fine with that.
Okay, good. How good is your memory?
Excellent. But I have a terrible sense of direction. So I remember people, faces, too many details about them that freaks them out. If you put me in like a place I lived a year ago, I'd be like, where are we?
That's interesting.
interesting.
It's like a brain.
Weird how the brain works, isn't it?
Yes.
And finally, have you ever been in a fight?
Not really.
Come on then, let's go.
I'm ready. I don't know if this is the first week, but I have questions for you.
What?
I prepared you questions for my introvert clubhouse. Are you ready?
Are you serious?
So I've been listening to a few of your episodes.
Uh-oh.
Do you or do you not have a thing for Tom Cruise?
Actually, really, no. I know, I brought him up a lot. Do you know who else I keep bringing up? Sean Walsh.
I don't know who that is.
Which is a bit weird. Oh, okay. Well, he was in Strictly Come Dancing last year, and he was in the biggest scandal ever.
Oh, I know. Okay, I know what you're talking about.
So
now.
He was seen, like, snogging his dance partner, his
man. You're evading the Tom Cruise question.
Oh, okay. No, do you know, I'm not obsessed with Tom Cruise. I'm obsessed with Scientology.
Okay, that makes more sense. You're right. That's the link. Okay,
fine. I am obsessed with
Tom Cruise. Was my first crush growing up, so I was excited.
Do you actually like him?
No, I don't like him now, but as a six-year-old watching, like, Cocktail or whatever, I was like, that is a beautiful man.
I like his cock.
Would you rather be a brunette forever?
Right.
Like, dark forever.
Right.
So, like, you can't be blonde anymore. Sorry.
Okay.
Or lose 2 inches of your height forever.
I'm so short.
That's why it's a perfect question.
Do you think I'm very attached to being blonde? Is that the impression you get of me? Because genuinely, brunette is so much better. I think blonde and blue eyes are creepy. This is my only problem with Prince Eric, the blue eyes. If you were a man, would be
right
my type.
Now.
This is my type.
Can
Let's
get on Facebook.
Let's do this. You're not allowed to break in and uncouple us.
He's not on Facebook. He's never been on. He won't even know what it is. So what's the answer? Brunette forever.
Definitely brunette forever. And I would love it if I didn't look terrible, but I don't look unterrible, so I'm okay with being a brunette.
Okay. Because you're an amazing blonde.
Thank you very much. I think I've got just amazing hair anyway. You've got amazing hair.
But you do have amazing hair. In fact, I'm going to take a photo of you to show my friend who's trying to go blonde. I'll be like, look like this girl.
While you can talking. Take a photo, but first I'm going to give you your clubhouse initiation.
Oh my God.
And the fact that you've listened to them means that you actually knew this was coming. You're the first person who knew it was coming.
Well, I didn't know if I'd be so lucky. I didn't know what was in it.
Yours is pretty special, actually.
Oh my God.
But I know you don't really drink, so there's a little bottle of Prosecco.
But I can drink this.
Okay,
this
good.
Is small enough for me.
Oh, good.
Chocolate. Oh, wait. This is exciting. This is a tiara.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And I need you to wear it. For the rest of this conversation.
I love all of these things. Oh my God.
Are you a chocolate sweets person?
Yes.
Oh good, okay, that's fine.
I'm just a food person. I like food.
I mean, I don't know if you could really class chocolate and Skittles as food, really.
Yeah, you can.
You took drugs in the book. That was great. You're like a Tory MP. A sexy Tory MP.
I am.
I want you to lead this country.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to come to Peru with me this year and we'll do the ayahuasca? Because one of them had done that, hadn't they? I really want to do it.
No, that sounds awful.
You don't want to do that.
I want to know about it, but
do you want to go on holiday with me?
I think I do. I do want to do that and marry you and,
okay,
and put our blonde and brunette hair together and
just mush it together.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Because it's a lot of vomiting.
Yeah, I know, but you know, you see God and stuff, right?
Do you believe it?
No. I think it would be fun though, and I've written about it in my new book, and I really want to do it. I meant to do it before I wrote the book, but I ran out of time.
You didn't. I haven't been to that part yet.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay.
Don't pretend you've read my book.
I have it on my Kindle. I'll show you where I am.
I'm joking.
That's what I know about
but
the Scientology thing.
Was it weird writing about, you know, something illegal? Like, are you slightly worried the police will come for you?
No, because it was in Portugal / Bulgaria, so it was in a legal country. So I don't know what you're talking about.
Are the Does it?
Because I'm not a rule breaker.
If you break the law abroad, would it still be breaking the law here? I don't know what the law is.
I wouldn't murder abroad, but I might take drugs in the Netherlands.
Okay, but you know, if somebody gives you a book deal to murder someone, surely you will.
Well, yes, because you're contractually obliged to.
Yeah, exactly. Do you think that you are funnier now, post all of this stuff? Like, well, because you went through so much and you did so much, and also you literally had some training in how to be funny. Do you think that you've come out of this year as a funnier person?
No.
Okay,
no.
You were always funny. Were you funny as a kid?
No. So, I say in the book that my brother is the funny one in the family.
Yeah.
And, like, no one was even considered funny compared to him. But everyone in my family is funny because it's just the way we are. If you're boring and not interesting, then they don't want anything to do with you.
They throw you out on the street.
Basically. And then, yeah.
Because you were born in Texas.
I was.
Which is a surprising thing to me because I thought everyone from Texas wore cowboy hats and were men.
Are you sad that I'm not an earnest American man?
Yes, a cowboy hat? Real broad shoulders.
Most of them are. That's true. 50% of them are.
Okay.
I had two older brothers.
Yeah.
And the only defense I had was my wit. So I had to be mean and sarcastic because I could not beat them up. They could beat me up. They could pick me up and throw me. Couldn't do anything. So I feel like they really shaped my personality in being horrendously sarcastic sometimes.
Do you ever want a sister?
Older but not younger because I like being the baby.
I like being the baby.
How many siblings do you have?
I'm the youngest of five.
Okay, I really wanted to ask this question. And what are they? Are they all boys, all girls?
Two boys, two girls.
Okay, so that's why you're funny. You're the third.
No, I'm the fifth. Well, technically, I've got a twin sister. I know.
Oh my God. Don't you think, though, being the youngest, yes, it's the best.
Yeah.
Sucks to be everyone else. And you just watch your older siblings and you learn things faster, and then you can also make fun of them, which I feel like if you're an only child or you're the oldest, you don't know how to do that.
Yeah.
And it makes us just funnier.
Also, older kids, I feel like they have to spend their whole lives hearing, oh, you're supposed to be the oldest, you're supposed to be the example, and I have got no expectations placed on me.
I love it. In my next life, if anyone's listening, I don't want to be the oldest.
Do your brothers live over there still?
They do, yeah.
Do you miss them?
We keep in touch a little bit.
You're not that close.
We are close, but we don't talk to each other that much, if that makes sense.
Is it all quite, what is it, surface self?
No, it's almost, my family is too deep and it's really annoying. It's always like, so how much money did you make? How do you feel about that? Are you sad about that? And it's like, yeah, I don't want to be deep with them because it's awkward.
That's why you left the country.
And to find a husband.
Because everyone's too earnest.
They're too, American men are too earnest. They don't like me. They think I'm mean. Whereas when I came to England or I met British men.
You found your soulmates.
Yes.
A nation of soulmates.
Yes, I could be mean to them and they'd be like, that's funny. I will be mean back. And I like this country.
Do you think you'll stay here forever?
A while. I mean, I thought we were going to be new best friends.
Yeah.
So it's going to be hard if I'm not here.
I mean, I'm willing to move with you though, so.
Okay, good.
If you go over there, I'll just move too.
Okay, right.
That's fine. I can bring my dogs, right?
Obviously.
Great. Yeah. Great. And what do all your family and friends think of this amazing book and your super success?
I haven't heard from a lot of them, which worries me because it just came out. My parents...
did anybody say, please don't write about me? Because it's weird with a memoir, right?
No, they didn't.
No.
Because I didn't tell them.
Okay. You didn't ask anyone's permission?
No.
Ask for forgiveness, not permission.
I changed everyone's identity except for, like, my family and, like, identifying characteristics. I don't think they knew how neurotic I was or how shy I am because, like you... One-on-one, if you saw me, you wouldn't think this person is shy. But if you put me in a group of more than five, I'd probably be really quiet and I'd just be watching all of them. So they didn't realize that at school I was shy and that they just... I don't know. You don't really know how your family acts out in the real world because you can't see them.
You don't watch your family from afar.
No, do you? So you've got, like, cameras on your mom, like, when she's, like, in the store.
Yes. I have an alert in case she moves.
Okay, yeah, then be different for you, but...
Okay, sure. But you don't miss them. You don't want to move back.
No, I miss my family. Sorry. No, I do.
You hate your family. That's what.
I miss my parents a lot. I miss my family. My brother is actually married. My American brother is married to an English girl.
You've all come over here to steal our English, people.
They're in America. But he is not an earnest American man. He is not.
There are exceptions to my generalizing.
I know. I agree. I know. He's like the one that I know.
Okay.
So it's just that's the only one.
Amazing. And I can break them up then.
Yeah. Her name is also Jessica. It's a bit weird.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I couldn't date a Phil. That's my brother. One of my brother's names.
Imagine. But imagine it. So wait.
So you're in bed and you have to say his sister's name.
Ew.
Jessica.
No, I hate you.
Ryan me harder, Jessica. Do you think they have to have a different name?
I think best friend status has been rescinded.
Okay.
Wow. Wait, wait, wait. No, no. Final question. If you met a Prince Eric lookalike,
yeah,
who was very funny and not too earnest, but not mean, and very loving, and had a good job and stability and not a lot of baggage, and he loved dogs and he loved you, but his name was Phil.
Would you? I'd have to go. I'd probably still date him, but I...
So you would yell, "Do me harder, Phil."
No, I wouldn't. I would have to go by a middle name or his surname or something. I quite often call boys by their surname anyway.
Okay.
So it's fine. Before we go, is there anything else you'd like to plug? Is there a website or where, how do people follow you or stuff like that?
Ooh, yes. On Instagram, I'm JessiePanPan with a Y, and it's called Sorry I'm Late, I Didn't Want to Come, an introvert's year of living dangerous.
And it's really, really brilliant, and everyone should buy it. Thank you, everyone out there, for joining me. Please rate and subscribe if you have a minute.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.